Wow.
Immediately after Rabbi Moshe's Yahrzeit, so someone asked me to ask if anybody's interested, there are sponsorships available. The Rabbi Moshe's beautiful Torah is put out on the tables, and I think it's $100 a month, a week for the community. If anybody's interested in helping out in this wonderful endeavor, speak to Rabbi Schwartz. Rabbi Schwartz here. Alright. Okay, so I thought maybe I would just give a little bit an idea, perhaps, of something that Rabbi Miller stressed a lot. Obviously, nothing comprehensive, nothing authoritative, just an idea, a tape I heard, maybe with my some of my own embellishments. So it's well known that one of the things that Rabbi Miller stressed was thanking Hashem for everything and focusing on whatever Hashem does for us and thanking Hashem and thanking Hashem and thanking Hashem. That was something that Rabbi Miller stressed a lot. Happens to be, somebody told me, I think it was in the name of Rabbi Lubin actually, that it's not really Rabbi Miller's chiddush to thank Hashem. But really, a lot of the davening is thanking Hashem, maybe most of it. But since by davening, people have, you have a whole day to plan, and there's no better time to plan your day than by davening. So everyone's mind is busy with their day, so during the day you could think about praising Hashem. So, one of the basic precepts of life, Jewish life certainly, is that Olam Haba is doim leproizder lefnei hatraklin, Olam Haba haskin atzvacha beproizder kedei shetikonas hatraklin, get yourself prepared in this world so you can enter into Olam Haba. Okay, so if this world is a preparation for the main hall, Olam Haba, so we have to know what we're preparing ourselves for. Like if you're going to go play sports, so you have to stretch. If you're going to go, whatever you're going to do, you got to prepare for it. So what is the next world? So we have a statement that tzaddikim yoshvim, the next world, there's no eating, there's no drinking. Rather, the righteous are sitting, v'atresem b'resheyem, and their crowns are on their heads, v'nanimizim ha'shchina, and they are just enjoying the splendor of the Shekhinah, of the Divine Presence. Okay? Sounds good. It sounds very easy. You sit and you enjoy. I mean, it's not easy to be a tzaddik, but once you're a tzaddik, so then you have a good in the next world. We're going to enjoy the splendor of the Shekhinah. Not necessarily could I envision the enjoyment of focusing on the splendor of the Shekhinah, but I believe that that will be enjoyable. But then we have another statement. It says, "Kol ha'isik b'shir ba'olam hazeh, kol ha'omer shir ba'olam hazeh." Whoever says shir in this world, zoyche va'omer la'olam hazeh, he'll say shir in the next world. So, well, second, I thought I was just sitting and enjoying the splendor of the Shekhinah, and now I find out that there's choir practice. I'm going to be if I'm lucky, I'll be saying Shira. So what's with that? And there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to say, Baruch Hashem min olam v'yad olam. Baruch Hashem min olam v'yad olam. So they used to add that to the Bracha. So if you'd say, Baruch Hashem, Shem Ra'am v'Yisrael la'ad, in the Beis HaMikdash they would say, Baruch Hashem min olam v'yad olam, Shem Ra'am v'Yisrael la'ad. So they used to add that in. So what was that thing they used to add? What does it mean? Baruch Hashem min olam v'ad olam. So Rashi says, "Hanhigu brachosav b'olam hazeh, kdei shiugil b'olam haba." Get used to saying brachas in this world, because you got to practice. You have to practice for next world. The next world, you're going to be saying a lot of brachas to Hashem. You got to practice in this world. If you don't practice now, you're going to come up there and you're not going to, it's not going to work. So you see again that in the next world we're going to be saying Shira. We're going to be saying Brachas of Hashem. In fact, is there really a pasuk? Ashrei Yoshvei Besecha, Oy, Dihaluchasa. Praiseworthy are those that in your home, in your house now, you thank Hashem, you Lord Hashem, and Oy, Dihaluchasa, we'll do that later forever. So, on the one hand, it sounds like it's going to be the golden years, and you're going to be Yoshvin, Venanim, Ziv Hashchina. On the other hand, it sounds like we're going to be singing and praising and giving brachas and shira. So, which one is it? So, before we deal with this question, there's a Medrash in Kehelas that says an interesting statement that has to be examined. It says, "Kol ma shebara hakodesh baruch hu b'olamai loy bara ela kedei sheyiru milfano." Whatever Hashem created in this world, Hashem only created it so we should fear from before Him. So, Rabbi Miller used to say that we have an interesting statement here. Sheyiru milfano. Everything is made for Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is certainly on the ladder. That's the whole thing. Yerushalayim, that everything, every last detail. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo is for Yerushalayim. So, yeah, I mean, Yerushalayim, it's very important. So he used to explain that Yira is Lashon of Re'eh, to see. So, people jump to Yira, but really, if you don't perceive anything, you're not really afraid of anything. Fear, by definition, pre-assumes, carries with it awareness. So, really, Yira, at its Sherish, means awareness of Hashem. In other words, the world and everything in it was created to garner by people awareness of Hashem. Now, Re'eh, to see, Yira, fear, awareness, fearful knowledge, awe, standing in awe of and perceiving Hashem, Yira doesn't just mean to see. It means Re'eh Neisen Efnechem Hayoyim. Absorb, understand. So, we have now that Re'eh, Yira, means a combination of to understand, to perceive, to be aware, and to fear. In other words, to gain knowledge in, and therefore become awed by. That's really what Yira means. The more knowledge you gain in Hashem, the more you come to perceive Him and become aware of Him, the more you're awed. In other words, fear of Him. That's what Yira means. The purpose of creation is to gain a tangible awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem. Knowledge is good, but you have to gain awareness. Rabbi Miller says that the Rambam calls this awareness, this tangible perception, this acute knowledge of Hashem's existence, and we'll see not just existence, but awareness of Hashem, perception of Hashem, not just knowledge, the Rambam calls that Deo. And the Rambam explains that this statement that we began with, that Tzadikim Yoishvim V'Atreseim B'Rosheim, the Atara that the Tzadikim are wearing, what does it mean to have a crown? What does it mean to have a crown? The Rambam says the crown means the Deo. That means we spend a lifetime in this world, hopefully it's a long lifetime, which Hashem it should be, a lifetime of acquiring Deo. Now we don't know that we're acquiring Deo. We think we're eating matzah, and we're saying Krishna, and we're trying to control our anger, and we're davening and learning, and doing mitzvahs, refraining from lashon hara, and sometimes slipping, and then coming back and doing tshuva, and that's all true. But really, there's a grand master plan of gaining awareness of Hashem in a sensory, I think that his lashon was a sensory perception, an actual awareness, where, you know, they say some people, after they've had certain procedures, they could suddenly, they know it's going to rain today. They're better than the weathermen.
Yeah,
they feel it. They feel it. They know it's going to, they feel the precipitation of the air. They know it's going to rain today. So that's what day means. And that's what it means that the tzaddikim sit with the atar, with the daya that they acquire during their lifetime of acquiring daya, and they sit. And with the daya, they're able to perceive more and more in Hashem. It's like the language. Once you learn, like the Vilna Gaon said, that he only has, I think, I wasn't there when he said it. They say such a line from the Vilna Gaon. If it's not true, the point is still relevant. He says that, I only have to have Hakaras HaTov to my Rebbe who taught me Aleph Beis. He says, because after that, I did the rest. But Aleph Beis, you can't teach yourself. Someone has to tell you Aleph Beis. So it's the same thing. The Deya, some people have more, some people have less, but Deya is the language. A person could sit for 40 years, and if he doesn't speak the language, then he'll gain nothing. If he speaks the language, then every day he's growing and growing, and it's unbelievable. So the Deya, the sensory awareness of Hashem, is the language in the next world. And once you have that, again, some have more, some have less. That's what makes a tzaddik. And then you're able to enjoy the next world, and you can be nanim ziv hashchim. So now that we understand that, so we can go back to the shira. You see, when you praise something, true praising, not the way I myself, and I'm sure no one else, says Pesukah D'Zimra. But a true praising, where you're actually focusing on what you're saying, and you're saying it and you're thinking of it, and you're praising Hashem, so what you're doing is, you're speaking out, and you're focusing on your mind on the godless and the goodness of Hashem. In other words, you're giving yourself more and more perception and awareness of Hashem. See, when you know something, and when you speak it out, it's totally different. Like if someone has an opinion, you have an opinion. No one asks you for your opinion. Most people don't. But you have an opinion. And then, suddenly you get into an argument. So then you state your opinion forcefully. And he says his opinion. And suddenly you're stating your opinion 20 times. Suddenly, you become convinced of this. This should be an amendment to the Dibros. This should be number 11. This opinion of yours. So, it's the same thing. When a person speaks something out, and he speaks it out with conviction, as much as he thinks he's convincing the other guy, really the person he's convincing most is himself. And that's important. That's why we say shira, we say davening. We think and we say, and therefore we imbibe the message of the shira in our bones. In this world and in the next world, this metzius is the same. And therefore, just like in this world, we gain more awareness and knowledge. Even if you have all the knowledge, there's still room for an acute sensory awareness. But we don't even have all the knowledge. So, in general, it's a good idea to focus on Hashem's praises, especially to find out what He's doing. Even after you know what Hashem does, but you have to bake it into your bones what Hashem's really doing. And you have to convince yourself. Because the world lies to you every minute. The world tells you, he did that, and he did this, and this did that. No, it's all Hashem. So to combat the lies of the world, you have to keep fighting and keep struggling. You have to be a refusnik. So in the next world, when we do these praises, we're gaining awareness of Hashem. That is the true pleasure. I want to read an excerpt from Rabbi Miller Sefer, and I believe that he more or less concisely says what we just said. In addition, there awaits him in the afterlife a career of praising Hashem forever. Because he occupied himself with the praise of Hashem in this life, he shall be rewarded with the opportunity to praise Him in the afterlife. Praising Hashem in this world is an avodah, a very difficult avodah, as can be evidenced by our feeble psikhu de zimras, mine. He shall be rewarded in the next world. Praising Hashem is not an avodah, it's the reward. Whoever speaks song in this world is rewarded that he shall speak in song in the world to come. As it says, Asher Yeshu V'Secha Oide HaLuchasel. This is the eternal reward and the endless joy of the afterlife. Tzadikin Yoshvin, V'Atrei Seyem B'Rosheyem, V'Nenem Eziv Hashchino. The righteous sit in permanent occupation, just as they sat in God's house in this life, with crowns upon their heads, the crowns of great wisdom and true knowledge, which are bestowed in the afterlife as a reward for their pursuit of this knowledge in this life, and they enjoy the splendor of the Shekhinah. This is the greatness of all joys, the ecstasy at viewing the splendor of the Shekhinah, which is the true culmination of the pursuit of the study of Hashem's praises. These two rewards are herein indicated. Oydi halalucha sela. They shall praise you in this life and forever in the afterlife. Singing Shira to Hashem doesn't limit itself only to singing Shira. You don't have to say a song to sing Shira. In fact, the Rebbe Miller says the word Shira doesn't even mean song necessarily. The word Shira does not necessarily mean music, but it denotes, you ready for this? The stimulation of thought. The stimulation of thought by the happy enthusiasm of noble emotions. It is related to shor, meaning seeing, and also shor, meaning a wall or elevated place. Because shira of song includes the element of insight and the element of elevation of spirit. Whenever you do anything, if you shake a lulav, and you have the proper intention that you're doing this as a mitzvah to serve Hashem, because you're Eved Hashem and you're serving Hashem and you're doing His will, then you've translated that shaking of the lulav from a mitzvah into a shira, because you have now insight in the mitzvah, and your insight together with your action blends together and takes all the knowledge that you had before and now gives it not just knowledge, but an awareness, a perception. This was Rebbe Miller's stress in thanking Hashem in this world. It happens to be, Rebbe Miller was a very practical person, and there are some other helpful purposes in always thanking Hashem. Number one, and in addition to this fundamental one, there's also the practical one of gratitude. You have to have gratitude to Hashem. You know, we all serve Hashem. So you ask somebody, why do you serve Hashem? Well, I don't know, Hashem's in charge, I guess. So it's true, Hashem is in charge. Hashem is 100% in charge. And Hashem made us, and we're avadim of Hashem. And that is a reason to serve Hashem, 100%. But if you could add to that another reason, why not? You also have to add the gratitude that you have to Hashem. All of us are beneficiaries of Hashem's kindness. So, even if Hashem didn't make you, let's say Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, didn't make us, but he's not in charge, Chas V'Shalom, but he's still been bestowing kindness upon all of us, day in, day out, so Hashem is always supplying us with these wonderful goodnesses. So that in and of itself would be enough of a reason that we have to thank Hashem and serve Hashem. So focusing on what Hashem does for us, is an impetus and a motivator to do the avodah properly. Another aspect is when you ever heard the expression, you got to count your blessings. When you praise Hashem for all the good that He does, you're also realizing all the goodness in your personal life. You see, many of us wouldn't appreciate having a hand. Why should you appreciate having a hand? Doesn't everybody have a hand? Okay. So where's the contract that states that someone's obligated to give you a hand? It's true, we all have hands. But hands are dead useful. Who told you that just because this guy has a hand, you have any less of a reason to be thankful for your hand? Somebody would offer you $1 million for your hand. You wouldn't take it. No, I'd rather my hand. Shkoyach. Maybe $2 million, we'll talk. $1 million, you'd rather your hand. So at the very least, the hand is worth $1 million. So why aren't people so excited about their hands? For two reasons. First of all, they had it already for a while. Okay. Second reason is because everybody has a hand. So what? So you think it's coming to you. I'm owed a hand. What do you mean? Owed a hand? Who owes you a hand? So when we appreciate everything Hashem does for us, we're also going to come to gratitude and happiness in whatever we have. We all know it says in Pirkei Avos, who's the Asher Asameh B'chalkai? So what does it mean B'chalkai? So Rabbi Miller says, you know what Chalkai means? It means that you're alive. That you're alive. That's it. It's a joy to be alive. I don't care what state you're in. If you're alive, that's a joy. So if you're happy, you're alive. Now it's very important to be happy. Or at least besimcha, I don't know, happening. You have to be in good spirits, because if you get too depressed and down, then you can't function. The Gemara says that Hashem created wine for the purposes of nicham avelim. Wine, what's the point of wine? Nicham avelim. What do you mean? Wine's for nicham avelim. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller says, you know what it means? He says, who's avelim? He says, we're all avelim. Why are we all avelim? Because we're all heading to the same place. We're all going to be in the same box, in the same pit. That's going to be the end of all of us. No one's going to escape that. No one's escaping the hole in the ground after however X many, hopefully many, many, X many amount of years. We're all going to the same pit. So that's a very depressing thought, if you think about it. And it could perhaps make us think like Esav thought, Chas v'Shalom. Esav said, "Hine anachi halich lavos, v'lam is el yevachay, what do I need this for? We're all dying." Esav was a very intelligent man. He understood. He said, look, he knew more than us. We deny that we're going to die. Esav knew he was going to die. It's all going to be over. The cemeteries, everyone's going to be in the same, everyone's going to end up in the same neighborhood. So what's the point of it all? So that's not true, because there's an afterlife, but it's a depressing thought. So Hashem, therefore, to Menachem us, He gave us wine. What does wine mean? Wine is extra. No one needs wine. You need bread, you need water, maybe some meat. Sushi. Wine you don't need. Wine is extra. Hashem made the world with extras. Hashem made the world with pleasures. There's nobody that could just live on necessities. Maybe there once was great tzaddikim, but in general, you can't just live on necessities. It's necessary, listen to this, this is already a riddle. It's necessary to live with more than necessities. It's not necessary to live with more than those necessities. It only goes up once. You have your bread and water you need to live, and then you need fruits. That's why we say, Burn the fascists, rabbis of Chasroin, and Akoma Shabros, Lachis, Behen Nevish Kochai, Burche Elimim. So one of the Pshatim there, I forgot which word. Burn the fascists, rabbis of Chasroin. What's the Chasroin? That we're deficient, and we need certain, that's why, on a fruit, fruits, wines, these things are extras. A person can live without fruit, he can live without wine. But it's important to keep yourself in a good frame of mind. Because if you're not in a good frame of mind, the system's not going to work. The machine's not going to work. Also, Also, it's important to remember, my mother used to stress, that the world is really a good place. You know, people get caught up in how bad the world is. Why do good things happen to, why do bad things happen to good people? And of course, the good people is themselves always. Why do bad things happen to good people? So, and they even have proof, because Moshe Rabbeinu also had this kasha. He says, you see, it's not a fair world. So Ramila says, 99.9% of the time, good things happen to good people. Okay, parking tickets and maybe sometimes even worse than that, but in general, looking at good, wonderful kehillahs of B'nai Torah and Yerei Shemayim, look at the families, in general, misfortunes are rare, Baruch Hashem. Even if they do occur, it's just human tendency to focus on them. But the untold majority of life is a breeze, life is a pleasure, and unfortunately people that abuse life and don't live well and are wicked, usually lo yechetzu yemeihem, they don't end up having it so good. It's not the pshat that, oh, this world looks like chaos. It looks like chaos if you're playing video games and you look up, oh, where's my coffee? Oh. If you're spaced out, it looks like chaos. If you focus and you look and you care to inspect and you investigate, Baruch Hashem, the world is going pretty good. It happens to be there are exceptions, and Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered by these exceptions. How could it be that even one tzaddik should have a bad and even one rasha should have a good? Okay, so that was so. If we understood the godless of a tzaddik and the badness of a rasha, so then and a chanami. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have the same kasha. But in general, the world is doing very well, Baruch Hashem, and we're very happy to be in it. It's also important. Rabbi Miller had a lot of fundamental hashkafas. So until now, we were discussing a lot of avodah, the way he served Hashem. And Rabbi Miller taught a generation of Jews, actually many generations, how to serve Hashem. But there's another aspect to Rabbi Miller. He was very sharp. And his ashkafa, he knew exactly, he was able to be machalik between things that look similar, and he was able to teach a generation the proper views on life. I remember, I never knew about Rabbi Miller, I never heard of him. I was in seventh or eighth grade, and the guy tells me a story with Rabbi Victor Miller. I never heard who he was. He tells me, yeah, he's a mashgiach. I live in Brooklyn, I'm ashamed to say, I never knew who he was. Seventh, eighth grade, someone told me a story with him. What was the story? That there was a guy walking in the street and he was sipping a soda. So Miller passed him by and he said, "I feel bashug, by Miller Kalev." So he said, no, Rebbe, I'm just drinking." So you're a puppy. So he had a tremendous clarity. He had a vision, and he couldn't catch one. So just some of the interesting hashkafa. He had he had this view. I don't know if he. See, with Miller, it's hard to know what he came up with and what he is transmitting because he had so much information and didn't always give the sources. So I'm not saying he made this up, but he used to say that everything is from Hashem, 100%. And really, the whole Bechira is an illusion. I came out wrong. About the real Bechira. But he said, really, everything is from Hashem. And it's not a steal. Everything Hashem does, there's no question. It's all Hashem. But we also have Bechira. He says, where's the Bechira? He says, first of all, you have to understand what kind of stupendous miracle of Bechira is. Bechira makes no sense. How could it be? Hashem is in charge of the whole world, and some guy's going to come and make a decision against what Hashem. It's, if we understood something about the godless Hashem, the whole concept of Bechira is totally ridiculous. But it's true. We're taught we have Bechira, so we know it's Pasuk Chumash, so we know we have Bechira. Rabbi Miller taught us, however, that Bechira is not an action. A person has no Bechira. I just say, I'm going to go hit somebody. I have zero Bechira. It's not up to me. If Hashem wants me to hit him, I'll hit him. If Hashem doesn't want to not hit him, I won't hit him. I have no Bechira. So where's my Bechira? Rabbi Miller said, Bechira is only in the mind. Bechira isn't the deciding. If a guy wakes up in the morning and decides that he's going to go to daven and put on tefillin, so Hashem will give him the opportunity as a schus for his good machshava, Hashem will allow him to wear tefillin. Sometimes Hashem won't. He won't make it to shul that morning. Something will happen. That's Hashem's cheshbonus. Why Hashem sometimes does and doesn't. But bechira never really exists in the realm of action. And even if a person were to do something, let's say a person decides to chop his own hand off. So he didn't chop his hand off. Hashem chopped his hand off. Let's say a person decides to go to a dangerous neighborhood late at night. Totally carelessly. So, he told himself he has a gun, he's packing heat, he's okay. So he goes to a bad neighborhood at night, and he gets heat on his... He's in the hospital. So now... So... Who did that? Hashem? Did the guy do that? Who did that? So Moses said, well, that's Hashem. Everything's from Hashem. I think the guy did it. It's all from Hashem. Just that... the guy who stayed home didn't get hit. So you see, it was him. He went out and he got hit. Of course, from Hashem, why? Because he didn't have error. His avera was putting himself in a sakana. If you go and put yourself in a sakana, it's a terrible avera. Because of the avera, putting yourself in a sakana, Hashem will allow you to get hurt. As an einish. Rabbi Miller used to say that there's the two main things in the Torah are, number one, Hashem, and number two, Klal Yisrael. Me, as we say in Ata Echad B'Shem Echad, Umi Kam Chisor Ge'echad Ba'aretz. These are the two themes of the two overriding main themes of the Torah is the godless and the Metzias and the godless of Hashem. Hashem exists. Hashem runs the world, and Klal Yisrael is His chosen nation. He said, it rubs us the wrong way. Our American sensitivities don't really sit well with this. That Hashem chose one nation. And he says, don't think it's a new thing. He said, Pare was very much offended. It's one thing if Moshe would have come in and said, the Jews also have a right, self-identification. What do they say with the Palestinians? They have a right. Jews have a right to statehood. Just give them a right. Moshe didn't say that. Moshe told Pare, the choicest nation. My Bechor. Hashem says, my Bechor. B'ni Bechor Yisrael. Pare said, Azoi? What is this? First of all, what about egalitarianism? What about democracy? Everyone's equal. And plus, if anyone's special, it's us. B'ni Bechor Yisrael. So it sounded strange then, and it sounds strange now too. But what can we do? We can't wipe out a quarter of the psukim of the Torah, and the Torah testifies to the godless of Klal Yisrael. So I once asked somebody, why is Klal Yisrael special? What makes us special? So he said, we do better actions. So okay. Could be it's true. So if you have two people and two babies and they have no action yet, so they're on the same, a Jew and a guy, it's the same. I wasn't sure. So what makes Klal Yisrael special? So this is another upender that I had. I always had a certain view of things, and then Yeshiva, I bumped into Rabbi Miller's forum and suddenly changed my perception. I always viewed Avram as the lucky winner of the lottery. As if to say, Klal Yisrael, that's us. We're good, we're constant, we're great. Klal Yisrael. Who's better than Klal Yisrael? Who put Avram in charge? Who put Avram up there? How did Avram get the job? How did Avram get the job of being the Av of Klal Yisrael? There's a big tzaddik, Hashem gave him the job. Says, you know what, you're going to be the Av of Klal Yisrael. As if there was a vote, and he won the prestigious position of being the Av. Oh, just the other way around. Who's Klal Yisrael? Who are we? What makes us special? Teretz is, we're the children of Avram. Avraham was so tremendously special that Hashem said, I'm making a deal with you. I love you. I love what you're doing. I love what you're going to do in the future. I want all your children, and then Yitzchak and Yaakov, whatever, these three others. Hashem told them all essentially the same thing. You're great. All of your children will be special to me, just like you are. So it's not the pshat that we are the constant. We're the muhsin, Klai Yisrael. And how is Avram Zeicher to be our Av? I don't know. Good question. He must have a lot of chesed. No, just the opposite. Can you imagine how what Avram was? We are only what we are because Hashem made a deal with Avram. Hashem loved Avram so much, he made a deal with him and said, your children forever will be my nation. Somebody once asked Rav Miller, he says, in Olam Haba, there's going to be no Goyim. He says, yeah, that's true. So he says, where's the fairness? Only the Jews have Olam Haba? There's no, it's not right. Why should the Goyim be cut off? What? So Rav Miller says, there's something fundamentally you're not understanding. He says, Hashem doesn't owe you or him. Hashem doesn't owe anybody anything. Hashem didn't have to make the Goyim in the first place, or the Jews. Hashem made them, and they lived for 90 years. And you know how many tons of bread and butter they displaced? And how much chicken and mutton and pork and whatever else they did? You know how much fun they had, and you know how much alcohol they consumed? You know how much entertainment they imbibed. They had a great life. Now Hashem is suddenly he's not fair because he didn't give them Olam Haba. Why is he obligated to them? Hashem doesn't owe anybody anything. The Ramban says it's in Dvarim actually by the Ben Chacham when he asks Moa Edis Vachukla Mishpatim. So and amongst the answer that the father gives him, the father says that we do what Hashem commands and Hashem will give us tzedakah. Tzedakah alone, the Ramban says, that's talking about Olam Haba. And why is it called tzedakah? Because Hashem doesn't know us anything. Hashem created us, and Hashem is native to us our whole lives. And then you die, you die. It's enough that you were created. Now you want more? You want to come back? Make it tasty. What? So why do we have it? Hashem says, what can I do? I already promised their forefathers that I will give their progeny Olam Haba. So to the Jews, I'm obligated. And to whoever joins the Jews, I'm obligated. What does Hashem owe the guy? So these and other things are fundamental lessons that I learned from Rav Miller. Another thing which helped when you learn Chumash. So there's so many parts of the Torah that are not Negea, because the whole Vayikra is dealing with Karbonos. I mean, not the whole Vayikra, but a large part of it is dealing with Karbonos. And that's only for Kehanim. And the whole end of Shemaris is talking about the Mishkan, and only Kehanim are the Mishkan. So Rav Miller explained that it says, Vatem Tiyuli Mamleches Kehanim V'Goy Kodesh. It means every Jew is really a Kohen. Just like the Jews and the priests. So the Jews are the priests of humanity. We're Kohanim. So he says, whatever mitzvah the Kohanim have, whether it's in Karbonos, whether it's don't drink wine, whatever mitzvah the Kohanim have, so it's true that the technical mitzvah doesn't apply to us. But the idea behind the mitzvah does apply to us. So whatever you learn in the Torah actually does have a relevance in terms of your avoda. And I just wanted to end off with a pretty fundamental thing. We say it all the time, twice a day, at least three times, and it's not always clear what it means, and since it's very, 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 very important, I thought it would be, could I mention it, because Rabbi Miller explains it. So we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Could be some of you familiar with this. So it's the third mitzvah in the six constant mitzvahs. It's, they say to Anochi is the mitzvah number one, to believe in Hashem. Lo'ir lecha lehim acherim. No other, only Hashem, no other gods. And Hashem echad, achdus Hashem. So what does achdus Hashem mean? We already know that Hashem exists. Anochi, that's the first mitzvah. Second mitzvah is lo'ir lecha, there's no other gods. So then what's Hashem echad? Obviously, if Hashem exists and there's no other gods, so the third mitzvah of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is automatic. So, and we say, you know, it's a pretty important pasuk. I think everybody would agree. So what does it mean? What does it mean, Hashem Echad? So Rabbi Miller says, He is One denotes many principles. There's many things that Hashem Echad means. And amongst the many principles are the following. Number one, the simple pshat, that there is no other God. Even though it's obvious that maybe Hashem wanted to give us another mitzvah. Second of all, there's nothing else that contains intrinsic existence. Because everything is only, as the Rambam says, Hashem was mamzi kol nimtzu v'chol nimtzu. Hashem brought forth all that is there. Lo nimtzu ela ma'amitase ha'matzo. Whatever exists only exists from Hashem, who is the true existence. Everything besides Hashem, and everyone besides Hashem, is only a reflection of Hashem, who is the true existence. So Hashem Echad means not only that He's alone, that He's one, but fundamentally all that truly exists is Hashem. Everything else is somehow comes from that. We don't understand how, but that's number three. And He is the one in the management of the universe. There's no other force that operates independently. There's no nature. There's no laws of nature. Everything is completely, totally His will. Man has been given free will in the realm of his mind. Only, like we said, only his mind. But all deeds are done by Hashem alone. You understand that? All deeds are done by Hashem. That means that the same way, obviously a lot more, but just as a starting muscle, the same way when you're playing a computer game, you're controlling all the pieces, all the movement, Hashem is doing the same with the world, literally. Even though there's Bechira, but Bechira is not an action. In terms of action, Hashem is doing everything. Number four, He is one forever. Hashem will never not be one. And since He's one forever, so His covenant is one forever. As the Pasuk says, it's a beautiful Pasuk, it's in Yeshaya. The mountain shall depart and the hill shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, Israel. And my covenant of love and peace will not be removed. Different type of love and peace.
Right.
And number five, He's one in all His deeds. Hashem, all His deeds are one. It's only one. So Hashem is not, Chas v'Shalom, today good, tomorrow bad. Today angry, tomorrow happy. Today angry, tomorrow happy. We're sad, we're happy. We're all over the place. Hashem, all His deeds, whether we understand it or perceive it or not, are always the same exact thing. It's always one. Hashem is always operating under the same mindset, so to speak. Number six, and He's one in His perfection. Nothing else is even close to as perfect as He is. And number seven, He's one in our thoughts and our deeds. Meaning, we have to make Him one in our life. Everything has to be for Him. Hashem Echad means, partially, that my life is centered around Him and Him alone. And the final one, number eight, is that He's everywhere, north, south, and west, throughout the whole universe. He sees everywhere, and His power is everywhere, and His kindness is everywhere. He is one in this world. And He is one in the afterlife. These and other important yesodos are to be found in Rabbi Miller's tapes and books. And Torah b'Neches b'Keren Zavos, whoever wants to learn it should indulge. A guten.